And we're back on In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. I'm Andrew Shores, speaking now with Manhattan Area Technical College President Jim Jeanette. And Jim, it's great to see you today, and it sounds like you've been just a bit busy hearing about Manhattan Area Technical College. You have some special visitors coming here to Manhattan in May. You are undergoing an accreditation process.
Right.
I would assume this is something that's kept you awfully busy here the last few months.
It's common for almost every public and private for-profit institution in the country. If you're going to give federal financial aid to students, you have to be accredited by one of the agencies recognized by the U.S. Department of Education. So K-State went through their reaccreditation review last year. And we have ours coming up first part of May. And yeah, it's a little tense because you don't want to blow this. You don't want to screw it up. About 65% of our students get some form of federal financial aid, so it's pretty critical. If you get a Pell Grant, if you qualify for a federal student loan, you have to be accredited to give the money, okay? In our case, we're passing out, you know, several millions of dollars in federal financial aid every year to our students. Yeah, some of it pays us, some of it goes in their pockets, so it generates a lot of economic development activity, if you will, a lot of return on investment in the region in payroll and purchasing. But more than that, the accreditation process is our stamp of approval. It's done by our peers. The reviewers are members of other colleges and universities. And they come in and they look us over, upside down, backwards, forwards. They look at everything. But it's also a good process because it gives us a chance to tell our story. And recently, the Higher Learning Commission, who we're accredited by, changed their process. So the emphasis really now is on, where are you planning to go? It's really looking at how are you going to meet the future needs. So that's pretty cool.
Well, and it's interesting when you talk about having people come in and look at MATC under a microscope, because I would assume this has given you and your colleagues the opportunity to really sift through everything and take a critical look at yourselves. Yeah. How do you go about evaluating yourselves before you have these accreditors come in May?
Well, they have these guidelines. They have criterion, okay? And in each criterion, they have core components. Within the core components, they have subcomponents, yeah. And basically, we have to address every subcomponent and provide evidence. How are we meeting? For instance, how do we document that we have qualified instructors? How do we document that we're providing comprehensive student services? How do we document that we're physically sound? Okay, those are some examples of some of the subcomponents. And so the evidence, for instance, physically sound, are audit reports. For quality of teacher credentials, well, we have to show we're following a process that our teachers have the appropriate degrees and or training and or licensure. So it's that kind of a very detailed review. And yeah, it's good for us because you tend to overlook those things unless you bore in every once in a while in this kind of review process.
Have you caught anything that you didn't expect to?
Oh, I wouldn't say not that unexpected. You can always improve. And a lot of it, since I've been here about a year and a half, is getting people back to take a look at our policies and procedures, update them, and getting people to go by them, you know. Every organization gets in a routine that, well, you need pencils. How are you going to go do it? Do you follow the procedure of this company every time you need a pencil? Probably not. And probably on occasion you took a paperclip home. That's probably against the policies. So it's a chance to remind everybody, here's the rules for the organization. So let's make sure we're doing best practices, doing things that show that we're accountable, we're good stewards of resources.
Now, when you have these accreditors in, you talk about being able to tell your story and sell yourself to the accreditors. And you have a lot of exciting things going on between the Westar substation coming to campus and the upcoming biosecurity training going on. Is that something that any other technical colleges that you know of are able to do right now?
Not in our area. I mean, out in California, there are pockets of these corridors related to biotech, but they're each in specialty areas. Ours related to the animal health corridor is unique. And so, yeah, that's part of our story as far as showing, again, what are you working on that shows you're going to be viable for the future? How are you addressing the needs of this area? So the biosafety training, the biotechnology program, critical environment training that we're getting ready to launch soon. We got a new federal grant a few months ago, a Title III grant. Soon we'll start renovating our library into a teaching learning center. We'll be putting more of our lectures courses online, so students are going to have more opportunities to learn without having to come to class. Those are all cool things we get to talk about. Westar, it's good for the community, it's good for Westar, it's good for us. It puts some money in our pockets, which we need since we don't have a local tax base. So yeah, this it's fun. You document we're in compliance with all of their criteria, and here's how we're moving forward. And that kind of gets everybody, they hopefully gets everybody kind of jazzed up about here's where we're going.
Well, and does that incentivize the group of accreditors when they see, are they more likely to take a look at MATC and be like, well, they're doing pretty good and this is where they're going? Is that going to make a difference when they make their decision?
Sure. Part of what you want them to do, part of the reason they visit too, is to give us ideas. You know, you might consider this, you might do this. What's really good is if you have an accreditation visit and they take away more than they offer back in comments because you're so good at giving them ideas. And that's kind of our goal, is to show them we're not perfect, there's always room for improvement, but here's some things we're working on that maybe you didn't think of.
Well, and maybe some actionable items. If you're a member of the public and you want to voice your approval of MATC, I see on your press release here, you could send them a letter.
Right.
You could send them an email
right.
and just tell them how much MATC means to you and means to the community.
Right. We have to allow an open comment period to the public. So on our website, there's a link where you can get the information to send them an email or a letter. Good or bad, I mean, it's open to whatever, and they do look those things over. But we would encourage folks, especially, you know, if we've done something that helps the area out, it's good to know that. All of our students will have a chance to do a survey for the Higher Learning Commission that the visitors will take a look at before they come for the visit. And once, pretty soon they'll send us their schedule. They're here for about 3 days is all. It's very intense. There'll also be a series of meetings, and one of those meetings they will host will be open to the public. And when we get that information, we'll share it so you can help us get that out.
Well, and that'll be interesting, too. I know I was at the City Commission meeting last night, for example, and they were talking with the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce, and there's a workforce development issue that they've identified, and there's an unemployment issue that they've identified.
Yeah.
And when you look at Manhattan Area Technical College, especially if you do go through with the reaccreditation, that's just a need that you're able to fill, right?
Well, we can help fill it. We don't have all the answers, but we can help. You had the USD 383 in here earlier. 30% of our spring enrollment, 30% of our spring students are Manhattan High School students, which is fantastic, and it keeps growing. And that's the key, I think I heard you mention on that broadcast. The key is for us to reach out into more of these high schools and get these kids interested in tech ed early on. They can save money, they can get a good career to start with, and it doesn't mean they stop. They can go on and do whatever they want, but they have a chance to get some skills so that no matter what the economy does, they've got something to either use or fall back on to stay employed.
Well, and say what you want about the Kansas legislators right now, but Senate Bill 155 has been huge for MATC and USD 383 in that aspect, because what was your partnership like before Senate Bill 155? I'm assuming it was good, but now
it was okay, but now it's much, much stronger. And again, we're helping almost 300 students at Manhattan High get into tech ed and general education. We're doing some with Riley County. We're talking with Rock Creek next week. What I need the legislature to do, what all of the community and tech colleges need the legislature to do, the funding is set at a certain limit, so even when our enrollment grows, the funding doesn't adjust. So the bad thing for us as it grows is we don't get the funding we're supposed to get, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that probably isn't going to happen, that they're going to raise the funding. So it's still good, but people need to know that, you know, we don't get paid a dollar for dollar back of what they owe us. It gets prorated, but we're going to keep pushing it because, again, this is the right thing to do with these students to get technical education. For instance, with Manhattan High, many of the ladies take CNA, and so do some of the guys. And I can tell you the area places that employ CNA students, certified nursing assistants, love getting these high school kids. But that program's then a precursor if they're interested in other healthcare professions and going into nursing. It's great training for them. Let the state pay for it, get that license, you're good to go.
Well, and I know, for instance, the mayor explicitly said last night, test scores don't matter anymore. I mean, they do to an extent, but you obviously want a good test score, but getting good test scores doesn't matter if a person isn't going out and getting a job and contributing to the economy. And it seems like the jobs that MATC is able to offer are largely doing that for the region.
It certainly helps. Also, the young people these days learn differently. They're hands-on. You know, they use their phones, digital devices. They don't read books. They don't look through encyclopedias. So they've changed in how they learn. And technical education really speaks to that because we're hands-on. You're not going to spend all day in a classroom. You're going to be in a lab learning how to do this.
Well, you bring up some very good points just because I feel like technical education has changed. Like you said, there's a stigma that exists still about technical education. And it's not bad, it's just different.
Right.
And as you say, MATC is able to fill some needs that nowhere else in our region is able to fill.
Right. There's more and more demand for high-skilled tech ed for these high-paying jobs. We're talking jobs in the high five and six-digit range. and all you need is an associate degree. So there's some great opportunities out there. And it's also for the students who are good in science, good in math. You have more than one option. You don't have to go to the university. You can go into this critical environment training, this biotechnician training, and have one heck of a career and save some money.
So. Right. I would assume if you're going to be working as a biosecurity technician in the NBAF facility, then you'd want to like science pretty decently. Right. And MATC can really help you out on that front. It's 9:46 here in News Radio KMAN. We're going to go ahead and head to a break. Speaking, of course, with MATC President Jim Jeanette. Phone lines are open, by the way, 785-537-1350.
KMAN's Morning News is brought to you by ESB Financial.